Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, a real treat, we have Tom Dura, who is the Director of Development at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. So a very big welcome. I'm glad to have you here in the studio as well. We like to get some face time with people, so it's always good. But thanks, Tom, for joining today.
Thanks. This is great.
Definitely. So, and Tom has been working UCCS 6 years out of retirement, yep. A background in K-12 junior achievements.
Yep.
But we'll let you give your background a little bit. Tell us how you got to where you're at. And I guess we'll start out by saying we're not going to be cybersecurity focused today. We're going to be about how to make programs and build awareness in cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
But give us your background a little bit.
Sure. Junior achievement was my original not only childhood involvement, but my adult employment for nearly 30 years. Moving around the country a little bit, running junior achievement operations in local markets, and then moving here to Colorado Springs in 2001 to take on worldwide fundraising efforts for the organization.
So what is the mission there? I'm not as familiar with it. I figured we'd ask when we started the show there.
Sure. Junior Achievement?
Yes.
Junior Achievement is an organization that helps K-12 students learn about careers and life and financial education and entrepreneurship. So it's very much focused on capitalism. It is an organization that gives students the chance to explore careers in classroom programming for the most part, presented by business professionals who volunteer their time to help students get ready for the future. Mm-hmm. Big focus on at-risk students as well, who sometimes don't see a lot of what the future could hold for them until someone takes the time to share it with them.
So there's a lot of like the counselors in schools connected to junior achievements and stuff?
It tends to fit more in the classroom. So teachers allow junior achievement to come into their classroom. It'll be a class period a week for anywhere from 5 to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. Same volunteer goes in every week, so they become very familiar with the volunteer with the students and students with the volunteer. It tends to be a lot of social studies placement. It's kind of the area that kind of getting ready for career and life and understanding what opportunities are out there.
Gotcha.
Schools can dictate a little bit where it fits. When we're in K-12, it's easy because the teacher has those students all day long, so it's easy to fit in. As you get to middle school and high school, then a little more specific into certain classrooms where it fits best, economics, social studies.
Even the younger kids get this, huh?
Absolutely. In fact, the biggest number of students fit in the elementary school grades.
Interesting. Is that the best time to reach them with this, or what's the optimal time to get kind of in front of
students? It's a great time to start, piquing their interest. And junior achievement programs build upon each other every year. So what you might have in first grade builds to a little deeper level at second grade, then third and fourth, and so on. If you can plant the seeds at the younger grade levels, then when you get to middle and high school, where it gets into more specific actions on career exploration and financial literacy knowledge, it just feels more natural if it continues year after year.
Interesting. So now kind of back to University of Colorado,
yeah.
UCCS actually. Your work there. Now, University of Colorado, I actually do my doctoral work there and chose it because of how much it was involved mm-hmm. with cybersecurity and some of the great professors there that I've had on the show, some of them that are really just groundbreaking in that area
yep.
and Bachelor of Innovation, which we'll talk about later. But what is it that you've been doing there over the last 6 years to support kind of this build out that we see here now?
Sure. And maybe an important point to make also is that it's been more than 6 years in the cybersecurity area for the university. There have been degrees for over a dozen years in information assurance, which is now kind of transferred terminology to cybersecurity, the more current term, but bachelor's, master's, PhD level degrees, and those will be expanding going forward. What happened to us in 2016 was when Governor Hickenlooper, after a trip to Israel and visiting all of their cybersecurity activities, decided that we being Colorado, needed to be a hub for cybersecurity. And when he recognized how many companies there were in the Colorado Springs area specifically that had cyber activities or were here because of cyber issues, Colorado Springs became, I believe to him, an obvious choice for the place to be the hub of cybersecurity in Colorado, and the university being a great partner too.
Yeah, and we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors. We'll talk some more about that.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Hey, welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today I'm with Tom Dura, the Senior Director of Development at University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. And before the break, we were talking about starting this effort. And you mentioned Governor Hickenlooper, which we had on the show, one of our earliest episodes, talking about exactly where what you're talking about here, when it started. And we kind of started with the show following this effort and what's going on in Colorado. Always, you know, kind of side by side, University of Colorado being one of the key players here and housing that that effort. So give us kind of continue on from there about, you know, where what your involvement's all and the value here.
Sure. Once the decision was made that Colorado Springs would be a hub for cybersecurity in Colorado, it also there was a decision made that a building that UCCS owned on North Nevada Avenue, which at that time was an expo center, so the site of many festivals and different events going on. Yep. It was a building that the university wasn't originally sure what to do with. It was a mile off campus. It was, at that time, everything that UCCS had was contained within the main campus area. So the concept of turning that building into a hub for cybersecurity became very attractive. And after finishing off the leases we had with the folks that were using it for expo sorts of uses, its first step was to become the home for the National Cybersecurity Center, the standalone 501c3 organization that's affiliated but separate from the university. University is very involved. Our chancellor and other members of our executive team are members of that board of directors. So we were excited to have them become the first piece of cyber in that building. At that time, I became involved because of my work on the development side of things, development equaling fundraising for the university, and the fact that my area of specialty within fundraising, it's not individual, so I don't focus on alumni or personal giving, but more on corporate giving and foundation giving. Mm-hmm. So that's been my background all the way through my career. And it felt like the natural linkage to pull in relationships with cyber-oriented companies in the community, as well as companies of all kinds who recognize that they have some need for cyber-trained professionals within their organizations.
Interesting. So, and you had mentioned there's some movement here recently because most of that building still kind of sits there.
Right.
But as to making something else there.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Even though that building looks fairly long on the outside, what you don't understand until you've stepped inside of that building is how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's 132,000 square feet all on one floor. It's a gigantic building. And for instance, NCC's offices take up 3,500 square feet out of 132,000. Exponential Impact, the cyber incubator organization, takes up another 7,000 square feet. So even with those two there, we still have 120,000 square feet of space left to go. What we will be announcing in the next couple of months is a major build-out project for us. We've secured some investors. We're working through paperwork and the formalities with them right now. But in this first step of what will be a three-stage build-out for the university's specific use, we'll be adding 4 classrooms, 4 labs, 5 conference rooms, offices for faculty who will be dedicated to cybersecurity, a large study space, kind of a study hall lounge area. Mm-hmm. It'll become a very integral part of everyday education for the university, just a mile away.
So I've been in that building, know how big it is. Even what you're talking about doesn't sound like it'll fill that.
No, this first phase is 40% of the north end of the building. So ultimately, UCCS's use of the building for traditional classwork and lab work will be about 65,000 square feet. We'll build it out in 3 phases. This will be the first phase. But there's something powerful about seeing a project begin that will encourage other people, we believe, to invest in phases 2 and 3. So hackathon rooms, looking at tiered conference rooms and classrooms. We want to make this a really exciting, active place. A lot of great cyber research will happen in the cyber labs.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's good. And good to get it out here, talk about it. You know, I actually have a student working on one of my projects up there. Worked with me for 2 or 3 months, and then I was talking to him. I was like, so what made you decide to come to University of Colorado? He's like, oh, I heard about it on this show I listened to, New Cyber Frontier. He worked for me for 3 months. Didn't make the connection that I was the person he was listening to when he was in Texas.
That's great.
But decided to come here because he heard about all the things going on at UCCS. And I think this is the word we need to get out, is there's so many great things in cybersecurity here, so much need, and so many great programs. Mm-hmm. And a big one, the Bachelor of Innovation. So talk about that, and then we're going to the new programs with,
sure,
with the cybersecurity management, I think, mm-hmm, in areas.
Yep.
But how did that Bachelor of Innovation, what is that about? Give us your 2 cents on that one.
I always think that, talk about how the Bachelor of Innovation, if I was going back to school right now, that is where I would go, because mm-hmm, it's exciting to me to combine traditional education with hands-on experience. And to me, that sort of sums up BI. Is that it's not just book learning, it's not just classroom learning, but it's taking what you're learning and putting it to use immediately in a project format. And the exciting part, I think, about the format with BI is that it's interdisciplinary. So you may have someone who is an engineer, you may have someone who's in communications, you may have someone who's in a math degree area, but they're all working together to help solve a problem by putting to use what they've been learning immediately.
Yeah, and you know what? Whenever I first heard about the BI, I didn't quite understand. It's basically like the Bachelor of Science people go to for a technology degree, or Bachelor of Arts will go to for a liberal arts degree.
Right.
It's a whole new categorization of the base classes, not the concentrations. So you still have the many concentrations in different mm-hmm areas, but the core classes are innovation instead of Bachelor of Science or Bachelor of Arts.
Right. You almost can think of it as taking all of the electives out of a degree. And this is my simplistic way to explain it. So you're still taking all of the core courses in, for instance, your engineering degree, but it's putting in all the innovation classes into those elective slots. Mm-hmm. So you're learning the basic information, but you're also learning how to apply it and how to become a very valuable person in your future corporate career, if that's the direction you're going, because you understand not only the technical aspects of your expertise, but you also understand how to deal with other people, how to partner, how to collaborate, how to represent the company well. There are all those soft skills that companies are demanding of their newest associates.
And you know what? I wouldn't even say it's only soft skills. I had done some of the Shark Tank, I guess, for mm-hmm the classes that I guess everybody's required to go through a class on creating a new company,
yep,
being an entrepreneur, pitching that to an investment group, you know, even though it's a mock-up Shark Tank. But that whole process was not just an elective or nice to have soft skill. It was actually planning and preparation for how I would take a product from inception all the way through the phases of the business to startup, knowing what that process looks like. Nobody gets that in Bachelor of Science or Bachelor of Arts programs.
Right.
I mean, the students were walking out from the Bachelor of Science and saying, well, what does the business need? Who would I even get a job with? They don't even know what companies to look at. And I think this is that missing piece in the education environment in general, is that, you know, teach them to do it for a company, to look at how a company works. And it's almost like having an MBA and a specific engineering concentration when you get out of your bachelor's.
It's exciting. And the projects they're working on are real life projects. These are not made up, just theoretical things. We partner with companies who bring us projects that the students tackle and work to come up with a solution.
Yeah, we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors. And we'll talk about some of those, because I have some that students are working on. Be right back.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking to the Director of Development at the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, Mr. Tom Dura. And before the break, we were talking about the Bachelor of Innovation program and some of the things that the students are working on. And I know I have students coming into the lab, and they're funded for work hours through university programs to work on the projects we do. I have students, I think I have four of them working on blockchain projects. And I have two doctoral students that are researching pieces of it. And we have some BI students, and I'm not sure what degree they are, actually working on the governance body organization, some of the policy side of programs that will be stood up for international neutral governance. And there's tons more. I know you have students helping write grant proposals for, I know Cyber Resilience Institute had some students, a whole group of students doing that, and some others. What types of things, you know, that's just things I know of.
Well, that's you've mentioned a good range of the projects. I think what's critically important is the idea that these are real life. They're things that hopefully the people that are sponsoring the projects will gain from, that these students could actually see some of their results be used in real life. So that concept that it's not just theoretical, but you're right, it crisscrosses every kind of discipline that you can think of. Just can impact a wide variety. Cyber is only one piece of what BI does. It's just a very exciting place to be. And the students that graduate with the BI degree, they're very special people. You can tell that they're some of the folks that are going to be leading companies out there in the future, because they have such a grasp of the overall needs of a company, from funding to management to governance. They've seen the whole picture.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a big difference between the Bachelor of Science. How many students go through that program now yearly? Do you have any numbers?
Several hundred every year. It's a little bit restrictive because it's a newer program. It has a more modest size faculty group associated with it. So it's one that you have to apply for and be accepted into.
You have a low acceptance rate or?
Modest, I would say, acceptance rate. It's growing every year. There's more and more interest in the program, and every year there's more cross-disciplinary involvement. So more of the colleges and departments are becoming engaged as a BI, whatever their specialty area is. So it's a growing area.
So if somebody was listening, a younger person out of state or whatever, mm-hmm. or another, a parent that might want to push their child to look at certain opportunities at college, what would you say to them about this and getting engaged or thinking about this?
I think if a student or a student's parents are interested in that student, getting that super well-rounded look at life and being able to step out of the university and into a career where they become instantly valuable, truly valuable to the company, and not just a new employee, but a new asset. But the BI program is a great place to look. If you've got a student that is interested in that overall look, or if you're a little bit worried that the focus is so specific to the curriculum area of your engineering degree or your business degree, this provides that roundness to the individual that will make them very valuable in the future.
Do you see more of the students coming out of there that go to startups or more large scale companies, government contractors? Is there any kind of metric on that?
I think what we are seeing is a lot of these students have an entrepreneurial edge to them. Mm-hmm. So even if they're not starting out as an entrepreneur, there are resources required to jump into an entrepreneurial venture. I think a lot of these students will end up there. So they may start working for a company, get their feet solidly on the ground, maybe get their finances a little bit more figured out. But I suspect that an awful lot of them will pursue an entrepreneurial venture at some point in their life.
Interesting. So some of the other things that we had talked about at first is that you do a lot of the fundraising, mm-hmm. and you're looking at fundraising for some of the cyber programs. But that's kind of a challenge in cybersecurity. What do you look at? I mean, is it, people don't know what to buy, what to spend money on. How do you do, what do you do for the university to say, who do we approach? How do we go after our funding models? Because you've obviously been successful. So tell me about what that looks like.
Sure. We're matchmakers in the development area. So we know what the university wants to do. It's clear from us. We have what we call Chancellor priorities. So we always know what the big goals are. Cybersecurity is a huge Chancellor priority right now. We see it as a point of differentiation for UCCS versus other campuses and other universities. So we know where we want to go. We've talked about curriculum. We've talked about new degrees. We've talked about the need for faculty and scholarships for students as well. And with that, those views in mind, we take a look at the companies and the foundations and the individuals in our community and outside of our community. One of my bigger jobs is to try to find companies and foundations outside of Colorado Springs who recognize the value of what we are doing at UCCS in the world of cybersecurity specifically, and encourage them to make investments in us. So not just investing where their headquarters might be, but investing where they see future workforce coming from, or the opportunity to establish business here in the Colorado Springs area. So the goal is ultimately to satisfy their desire, which may be for a stronger workforce, more opportunities to interview students and not have first choice, because that's not the way the university works, but at least to be at the table when students are interviewing, when they're filling out their resumes, when they're doing mock interviews, to try to get some of those people to the table too. So it's a very strong level of engagement. It's not just funding usually. There's usually more to it than that. They're more of we want them to be partners so they feel the benefit of where they're investing long term.
And in investing, what would that, if a company wanted to say, we're looking to partner with the university, mm-hmm. I know it's not a quid pro quo, but what is it that they end up coming away with or being part of?
Sure. For their dollars, quite often, an usual entry point investment will be a scholarship. So a company may create a scholarship with their name on it. So a student going into some part of the university will understand that they're from XYZ company is helping to support them through. Typically, once a scholarship happens, then those companies get involved in mentoring students. They get involved in, as I was mentioning, the mock job interviews, helping them to create resumes that are appealing. They get exposure to students. There are an awful lot of cybersecurity companies, for instance, in this community whose names aren't terribly well known. They're startups on their own, or they're they're a little bit hidden in the shadows a little bit, as a lot of cyber things are. They're not the big broadcasting the name retail kind of companies. But we want our students to know who they are, so that when it comes time for interviewing and they're looking for their first career, that the companies are familiar to them. Mm-hmm. And they want to go there and want to investigate who they are, and they don't get stuck only on the big, big name companies.
Gotcha. And an interesting approach. So also you have some new degrees and areas you're starting up with. I know I worked with Dr. TJ, mm-hmm. And a Bachelor of Arts in Cybersecurity. I'm reading my right. document because it's almost like, what?
Yep, it's a huge twist, but I think it's going to be a very important degree. And the background in this is that folks need to understand that cyber isn't all exclusively technical. It's not just coding. It's not just computer science. But cyber touches all parts of a company's operation, from HR to manufacturing to, if you think of all the things that need to be protected and taken care of within a company that have cyber implications. We recognize that not all of them require a heavy-duty science and math background. So the Bachelor of Arts degree will allow more students to pursue a cyber degree that's not dependent on a heavy-duty science and math proficiency. Our BA degrees versus BS degrees, the biggest differentiator in them for getting into the degree area, to getting into the study, is the background and the ability to pass in Bachelor of Science situations, math and science proficiencies. Mm-hmm. We're especially excited about this because of our partnership with Pikes Peak Community College and other community colleges in the state. Quite often, students coming out of the community college systems may not have had the same depth of experience in science and math courses, and that can sometimes be a roadblock to them getting into a four-year university system. The mm-hmm. BA degree eases that restriction and will allow us to open the door more widely to students that are transferring to move from their two-year degree to a four-year or longer degree.
Give us an example of what the areas of study would look like in that degree, what a student might expect coming into that.
Sure. There will be some bits of traditional cyber study. So coding is important. Understanding it is important. You may not have to do that every day in your career, but understanding what's behind that is going to be important. So the science behind that is a critical element. But then the degree can twist off in different directions. It can take on a more sociology, psychology sort of area of emphasis. So understanding human interaction. So taking machine learning, the math and science, it tends to fall kind of in that category, adding to it the human being aspect of cyber. Reality is the majority of cyber hacking incidents happen with employees within your own company. It's not necessarily external people somehow getting into your information. Mm-hmm. It's your own people getting into your information because they're disgruntled or something has gone terribly wrong in their lives and they're sort of taking it out on the company. HR people need to understand how to recognize those potential issues or how to seek out what's going on and help people avoid those kinds of things. So it's cyber wraps itself around
organizational behavior, human resources,
yep.
Governance and policy, like risk.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
The concept of how does a company protect itself not only externally but internally. And a lot of it has to do with risk. It has to do, as you mentioned, with the governance. It has to do with policies for tied to technology. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot of, as we go forward, there are going to be more rules and guidelines that are important to protect a company and keep it safe.
Yeah, and we're using some policy students that are looking at the blockchain governance mm-hmm. organization. And that's, you know, making an international group that comes to a table, different subcommittees that vote on, you know, what's the structure, who's allowed to be involved, how do we penalize people that for bad behavior, how do we recognize bad behavior,
yep.
How do we control the economics of it, how do we control the licensing and relate that to the industry and segment it. These are not technical things, but yet we need a whole team of 10 people working on that right now.
Absolutely.
And if they're as involved in cybersecurity as any of my coding team, but from a totally different standpoint.
Absolutely. The perspectives in cyber are amazing. When you consider that there are over 300,000 open jobs today in the United States in the world of cyber, well over 10,000 in the state of Colorado right now, that are folks are looking for people with all of those skills and proficiencies and the ability to work together that you've been talking about. It's a great, great area for a student that has an interest, that where cyber piques some curiosities that they may have. It's a great area to pursue right now because the potential for strong employment, and strong employment defined as opportunities for you to take advantage of, great compensation usually associated with cyber degrees. It's a great place to sort of plot your future.
And there's lots of projects you can get experience while you're going to school. And I know these because I need some students on some of mine. So once again, thanks for coming today. Is there anything that you need help with at the university that you get out to our listeners, how they can engage, how they get a hold of these programs, get involved?
Sure. I mean, reaching out to me at any time to be a partner, to be a partner business, to help us with some of our leadership councils that help dictate how we are going to move forward with what degrees, how the College of Engineering, for instance, where a lot of cyber lives, how they're going to move forward, helping us understand what kind of employees you need in the future, where you see the holes. Reaching out to anyone in the development team that can usually get it forwarded back to me will allow us to have that conversation and find out how we could engage a company, an individual, a foundation. There's room and need for all of those partners.
Definitely. Well, thanks for coming today. Definitely one of our excellent institutions in the area, and I chose it for my research and my work, so you definitely have my vote. But thanks a lot for joining today, Tom.
Thank you. This is great.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.